Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact scenario.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You'd think
there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning. Yeah, this is Tech Talk. You got me, Michael, Tech Talk Kassler, and I think we got on Dave Sparky Saganaki from Canada.
I'm me.
Oh my gosh, we got him. Now, not as exciting as if you were calling from Russia. The sports guys just got off the phone with some of our lovely athletes in Russia, but still pretty impressive that we're able to make the connection. So good morning. Good morning. Man, like I said, I warned Dave before he came on air, that I was discombobbled and tired out, had an exciting week this last week. And then Dave told me something that, you know, I did not realize this, Dave, that you actually prep for oh no, and we lost him. Speaking of prep, we're trying. Do I got you back? There he is. Oh man.
Hi.
Hey, there. I was just commenting how wonderful it was. You know, the sports guys somehow made this conversation work from Russia. I can't keep you connected from Toronto. I don't know what the deal is. They complain about the Russian technology and the way that things are being prepared here for the athletes. But maybe we should elbow our northern brothers and sisters and try and find out why the technology won't work up there.
Oh, the Russians are way ahead of the Canadians. Technology-wise. Have you ever heard of Canada hacking anybody?
Come on. That's a good point. I think it had something to do with log cabins and rotating saws more than or ice hacking through the ice to catch fish. There was a phenomenal YouTube video going on around us here about somebody pulling just the most enormous it looked like a trout out of this frozen lake through this tiny hole. It was like one of those the circus clown events with you just couldn't believe it kept coming and coming. But that's the excitement that we have up here in the frozen tundras of the north.
Yeah. Well, the weather's better here as usual a little bit. You guys have had a bad time of it there again this week.
Oh man, yeah, a lot of snow, a lot of freezing cold again. That polar vortex just keeps drifting down and snapping at us, and you know, we've dug out for the most part, but it's crazy. The driving around is still very difficult, and just to do the public service thing here, if you are on the roads, be careful. Not only do you have to worry about the cold, the snow, the ice, all the regular stuff, but because of the quantity of snow that we've gotten, there's a lot of difficulty with making turns. There huge drifts block your view frequently. So you have to be aware, not only for yourself, I mean, you pretty much know when your view is blocked, but being aware that other people may not be able to see you if they're coming out of a blind turn like that. So very difficult situations around here right now.
We need an app for that. You know, wasn't there supposed to be something going on with cars talking to each other? They're coming up. They're thinking about requiring cars to communicate with each other over the internet now
so,
to help avoid collision.
Yes. And in fact, wonderful segue. One of the reasons I'm kind of exhausted was I had the honor and privilege. I got an invite from Ford to attend a special media preview day at the Chicago Auto Show this year. It is
very, very cool.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. You know, and the Auto Show really is the most important car show. The Chicago Auto Show is the most important car show that they hold, because the greatest number of attendees come, but also, too, you've got the largest investment of the manufacturers in that particular show. They do these car shows all over the world, of course, but this is the one, this is really the one that people go to show their stuff off. I had the wonderful, amazing opportunity to spend some significant time with a gentleman of the name of Dave McCready, and he's the lead engineer on some of the really neat stuff they're doing with alternative energy cars, including the solar vehicle that Ford has. But we also got into a little bit of a conversation about what you're talking about, the car automation services. You know, we've heard about it from Google. Everybody's talking about it. Not only do you know, you got the parking assist that you're comfortable with or familiar with, probably, you know, where you can just push a button and the car will automatically parallel park for you, but taking that to the next level, connecting everything up, making it so we know where all the cars are, reducing the possibility of accidents and all sorts of great stuff. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it sounds, I really envy you. That had to be a great experience getting in there for media day. You know, when you're there with the crowds, it's kind of exhausting. It is a big show, and it's, in fact, the biggest auto show on the planet, supposedly. And when you go to it, it feels like it. You just you walk, you know, there's a million people, and you walk forever, but it's extremely exciting to see all the new cars. Have you got... You got a new car not long ago. Have you got new car fever again?
Well, yeah. You know, we actually, my wife needs a new vehicle. I don't know if I would describe it as a car, because, of course, what she needs is a bus for all of the kids and the gear and the stuff we're taking all over the place. So unfortunately, the cars that I was spending time with at the show really wouldn't fit either into our practical needs or our financial limitations. But no, you're right. I, you know, speaking of the crowds, though, that was the one thing I texted to my wife. You know, I have to confess, okay, it's like, I like a good car, I like a nice car, it's a thing to get me somewhere, you know. So I have a limit for, I know some people are just so fascinated by the technologies in it and the drive chains and the gears and the, I don't even know what words I'm using right now. You know, it's just, it's something that, so it's like, oh, shiny,
well, should we
pretty.
Send you to the auto show.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, but I'm there. So I'm texting to my wife and I'm like, this is awesome. It's great. And the reason why? There's nobody here. I can walk around. Yeah. And I, you know, I got to sit in a McLaren and in a Bentley and a Rolls Royce. They had all, you know, the supercars out there. It's just phenomenal. Never would have the opportunity to do that on a regular day. It's this weekend, by the way, people, if you're in the area and want to go, this is the weekend. You can still get tickets online. It's not that expensive, I don't believe. And you can have a blast. You can see some of the stuff. I did post pictures that I took. I should put them up on the Tech Talk Facebook page. I put them on my personal one. I didn't think about putting them up on the Facebook page. I'll do that. I got a ton of audio as well. Like I said, primarily the great stuff about the technologies behind the cars, these solar powered vehicles, I got to say, are just amazing. Really incredibly neat stuff. And we get into a whole side discussion about Fresnel lenses and how you the cars actually move around to capture the maximum amount of sun and all this really neat stuff. I've got the audio from that. I'm going to process it this week and I'll put it up for next week. At the same time, I will make sure that on the facebook.com/techtalkwrlr site, I'll post all the great pictures that I got of the auto show. The big thing too this year, though, for a quick sideline. So one of the reasons I was really excited to go was that the Ford Mustang this year is celebrating its 50th anniversary, and as part of that anniversary, they combined with Stern pinball machines. If you're an old school pinball machines, they're like the Midway pinball machine company, Bally's and so on. So Stern pinball machines came out with a special tournament edition stand-up pinball machine that's being released now to the world that celebrates the 50 years of the Mustang, and it's a beautiful machine. They had a whole bank of them up and available for free play up there, and not only that, but they brought in local boy. I did not realize he was local. Local hero, Zach Sharp, who up until about 2 weeks ago was the number one ranked pinball wizard in the world. He lost, sadly, last week in Las Vegas, but he's still number two. He's number two still, and he'll get that title back. I'm confident. And so I was able to spend some time with him and talking pinball and talking gaming and just everything about. He's got an incredible history, not only himself personally, but his family is very, very deep and involved with pinball and the history of pinball machines, and just really a fantastic, fascinating guy to talk to. I have a bunch of audio of him. I was on my way home from the show, and I didn't stop in the middle of the highway, but I mentally stopped, and I said, what am I thinking? We got to get this guy on air. So I reached out to him right away. He's agreed. He's gonna let us.
On the way home?
Yeah.
I know, you must have been caught up in the cars. That doesn't occur to you until you're on the way home?
Sometimes I'm just a little slow like that, I'm afraid.
I do the same thing. Don't feel bad. I've read countless biographies of different news people and such. And if you're not thinking in that mode, you just lose track sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And it just, like I said, I felt very unprepared when I first spoke to Zach. He's a disarming, engaging young fella. Got a lot of passion and excitement about pinball itself. And I was unprepared. I had no idea. I thought he was just a pinball guy, a player. He actually has a lot of history behind him too. So I want to bring him on air, and we'll share that with listeners in the next couple of weeks here. We'll arrange that for him to come on.
And it's great that he's from the Chicago area that has such a rich tradition of pinball started here, really, I think.
Yeah.
And if it didn't, it's certainly the manufacturing was strongest here.
Yes, absolutely. And like I said, and that was one of the exciting things talking to him, is that his family, his father in particular, was a major player. And I don't want to give spoilers here to the interview we're going to do, but his father was a major player not only in the pinball manufacturing industry, but also to the legal aspects of pinball machines and pinball gaming in the U.S., particularly during that critical period during the 60s and 70s, when, if people don't realize, pinball machines were banned. They were outlawed because they were considered gambling machines.
Pinball really was they pioneered gaming. Now it's a $93 billion industry, very good for the economy, and people enjoy it in their lives and such. But for a long time, it was looked on by municipalities and states and the federal government, I think, to a certain degree, as something very undesirable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And pinball fought that battle on their own for years.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And as a similar situation to, I think, things that happened with the comic books, which we now are supposed to refer to as graphic novels, but the comic book industry and all that. So one thing too that Zach agreed he insists after we played. So I got to play. We played there and all this, and after we played, he insisted on a rematch. He needed it. So I don't want to. I'm not saying anything one way or the other about who took the title on that one. But he demanded that we have a rematch. So there's going to be, hopefully, if I'm lucky, if we can arrange this. I'm being facetious about this. Unfortunately, the way those machines were set up at the show, they had to have them configured in such a way that you wouldn't have people standing there for 2 hours playing and winning free games and all this stuff. So they're not set up like a tournament machine would be. The way they're set up is that you get a free ball, and you have 2 minutes to play. And you basically get to play for 2 minutes. Even if you lose, another ball comes out and all that. You get multi-ball every time, you know. So it's not really configured for a legit play head-to-head sort of competition thing. So Zach has mentioned there are pinball tournaments going on all the time, all over the place. One of his favorite places to do it is in Schaumburg. GameWorks, I don't have my little bell here. Ding, ding, ding. So, you know, GameWorks, free promotion for them. But apparently there's a really good charity pinball tournament that's going to be going on there later in February here. And if we can arrange it, we'll do a Tech Talk competition there for the charity and see what we can arrange. But Zach will talk more about that hopefully in the next week or two here, and we can really dive into some of this stuff.
Fantastic. I can't wait to hear that article and to hear his side of this pinball competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got pictures. Gosh darn it. I'll throw those up on there too. Oh man. But no, the auto show itself was really, really cool. There are some neat concept cars there. There's some really phenomenal displays, as they have every year that they do. One of the things it's mind blowing. I mean, they have these like mud pits, you know, for the trucks to go through, and roller coasters. They have car roller coasters. I don't know if you've seen those commercials for, I don't even know what the manufacturer is, but there's commercials that where they take the cars and they go through a car roller coaster. They have one of those set up there. I don't think they're letting people drive on them, but but you can see it going. Just some really neat stuff. And of course, you know, I had to go over to the drool machines and all that. Now, one thing. Now, I'm going to ask. I want to ask you this, Dave. So explain this to me. So I'm there, and like I said, there's nobody there, right? I mean, nobody. Not nobody, but it's just media folks. It's losers. It's nobody's like me wandering around. You know, I mean, you know, maybe they're not quite as big as losers as me. There was actually a lot of media folk that I recognized from Channel 7 and Channel 2 and places like that. You know, the TV and video and some cable things. But basically, there's nobody there. Every car area place has got the booth babes, and in most cases, even though there's nobody there, you've got this you know, young attractive lady, and dressed usually in leather of some sort, white or black or red, and propped up against a car. And, you know, with a blank stare kind of off into space. I don't get it. I was trying to figure it out. I was like, well, for number one, I mean, there's nobody here yet. Why are you making this poor lady just stand there? You know, is she practicing looking pretty? How much practice does that take?
It's dress rehearsal, but also the booth babes are there to impress the goers to the convention, whoever attending the car show. And the most important people to impress are members of the press. So that's what it's all about. And also, cars just sitting there aren't that exciting. And you want to catch the eye. You want to, as people, even the sparse press population, as they go through the show, you want to catch their eye towards your machine, so hopefully they'll write something about it.
I understand that to a degree, but I wonder in how many cases does it work the opposite way? I mean, for me, and maybe this is my problem, you know, I'm a very happily married guy. You know, I consider myself, you know, your typical red-blooded American male. I'm frankly just a little bit embarrassed. I'm not sure what to do. It's like, well, if I look at the car, she's going to think I'm looking at her. And, you know, I don't want to go
Michael, she's just they're just people. Booth babes are people. They're not superheroes or anything. Aliens. Female humans.
But I think that's the problem. That's where the embarrassment lies. This is where I have the issue with the booth babe thing, is that when they're set up there like that, They're not being set up there because, hey, here's a nice, intelligent woman who's going to tell you things that you did not know about this vehicle. That's not the reason why they're there. They're not there to be humans and interact with them. They're there just like the car is there as a flashy piece of glitz to attract your attention. And that bothers me on some basic, deep level to the point where I don't even know what to do. I think that's where it comes down to it. And I know there's been discussion about this, not just at the car shows, but of course at the tech shows too. When I was at Oracle Open World, it was the same thing. You'd go by these booths and there'd be very attractive young women, clearly no connection to anything to do with technology, and not somebody you would go up to and say, hey, you know, I've been trying to figure out this problem with Apex and Oracle. Connected it with my JavaScript, and can you help me out? Let me show you some of the code. That's not why they're there. You know, Michael, it bothers
me. Sometimes I forget just how geeky you are. I do. Come on, it's just a person. You don't necessarily. You don't have to talk about code. You could just say, "Hey, oh, how, long day on your feet, huh?" Or what'd you have for lunch? Or did you catch that the last version of Downton Abbey or something? There's all kinds of things you could talk about. Well, you don't have to, in cars, at car shows, I've had great conversations. Almost all those women have had some training about the features of the car that they're representing. You could have great conversations with them about cars if you just try.
But I don't want to try. I guess that's the thing. If I wanted to go talk to pretty women, I would stay at home, or I'd go to a bar or something. I don't know. You know, I have the same problem at Hooters. Okay, you know, it's the same thing. Or at what's our local place here? The Twisted Kilt or whatever it's called.
What is it called? Tilted Kilt.
I don't know. Twisted Kilt, Tilted Kilt, whatever it is. You know, you go in. It's basically a Scottish Hooters. You go in and you sit down, and I'm like, I'll take the chicken breast. Wait, what? No, I didn't want that. Why are you serving me dressed like this? You're far too young, anyways, for that sort of clothing. You know.
No, dude, I don't know if it's the geek thing or if it's the Minnesota guy, but you guys do talk to women in Minnesota, right? I mean,
well, yes,
they're female.
Yes, you know? Yes, but at least the women that I would talk to, you know, they weren't typically dressed all in skimpy leather, propped on the hood of a car with a blank 1,000-yard stare, peering out of their perfectly coiffed manes and plasticized makeup faces. There was a little more humanity and a little more purpose and intention, I guess, for the conversation. But anyways, I we should get back on to actual tech news as opposed to just my inability to relate to most of humanity, I think, is probably.
We don't have enough airtime to address that.
Yeah.
Maybe Dr. Phil. Maybe you can get on Dr. Phil.
Oh, but you know, yeah. No.
They're just women in clothes and makeup. It's not that big a deal.
That's right.
They've got 1,000. Anybody would have a 1,000-mile stare if you had to stand there all day and not talk to anybody.
Well,
you make their time pass quicker, and you have a nice conversation. You meet somebody. Who knows? They could be just as geeky as you are. They're just dressed differently. That's all. And they have something. They have equipment that you don't, or they don't have equipment that you do, or something. I don't know. But anyway, you were mentioning Sochi earlier, right?
Yes.
You were talking about the Olympics and the Russians and such. A reporter, and I heard this indirectly originally, a reporter, Richard Engel, was there, and he issued a report on NBC saying that the second you turn on your mobile phone or your laptop in Sochi, you'll be hacked. Did you hear that story?
Oh, I did, and what a bunch of fear-mongering, crazy. Go ahead. You start with what you were going to talk about, though.
Well, it turns out that it's not true, of course.
Yeah.
First of all, he wasn't even at Sochi. He was reporting from Moscow, and And what he had done, what he'd gone, he was silly enough to fall for bogus Olympic sites. And he went there, and that caused him some trouble. And then he downloaded Android malware to his phone, and that caused him to do a Chicken Little thing and say the sky is falling in Sochi.
Yeah,
which that's been discredited by other security experts.
And of course, he didn't say, "Oh, look, I went to this site and I downloaded a virus. Isn't this terrible? I'm in Russia." He said, "Oh my gosh, my phone was hacked. My computer. As soon as I turned it on, look what happened."
Exactly. That was the quote. That was the quote that so many people are objecting to. If you turn on a device at all in Sochi, your device will be hacked, and it's turned out to be. So if you're in Sochi now listening to us, don't worry about it.
That's right. Don't even give a thought.
You would think you would use extra caution going to Russia. Online banking from Sochi, I wouldn't think. That's not a good idea. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah. I think the important thing to remember is the same thing that we tell people here, is if you're in an unprotected or unrestricted Wi-Fi area, be very, very careful that you're not using passwords that are passed in clear text, and that if you can avoid it at all, don't use Wi-Fi. If you've got a 4G connection, use that. That's a little more secure. If you have to use the Wi-Fi, just be very aware that people could be sniffing their packets, and nobody wants that. Even if you are a Booth Babe at an auto show, you don't want people sniffing your packets. So.
That sounds sexy. For a geek guy, that's pretty sexy.
See, I guess that's how I should open the conversation with them at the auto show. Hey,
can I sniff your packets?
Somebody's sniffing your packets here in Chicago. Better watch out for that. There is free Wi-Fi at the auto show, by the way, and I would suggest the same thing to people there is you got to be careful if you're going to use the Wi-Fi, especially in a Starbucks or a place like the auto show where there's who knows what people are doing, and if it doesn't cost anything to get in there, it's an easy thing to do, really, to start pulling the clear text information out of the air from Wi-Fi and use it or abuse it as you wish. So it's something to keep in mind.
Now, and another thing, Valentine's Day is coming up.
Yes, yes, it is.
Right?
Yes, it is.
And what does a socially awkward guy like you do for Valentine's?
Oh, I have a routine. I sit alone at my room and weep silently as I play video games. That's.
So, you actually have someone that is a potential partner or date or love interest. Or you're married or whatever. There's a new service online. It's associated with PayPal. It's called Poemgrams. Poemgrams.
Oh,
and what you do is you give them some details about your love interest, and they'll and you give them some money, and they'll write a poem for you.
Really? Wow. Wow. Is it of the roses are red, violets are blue ilk, or is it something? Can you specify, hey, I want something dark and gothic in the in the vein?
Oh, sure. Yeah, these are. I don't think it's a bot. I think they're actual people that write these things. Well, you could do that. You could really creep out the roof babes at the auto show by. Getting a poem for them. Say hello with that. But no, you can get something like this for your wife or somebody.
Okay. Now, how much does it cost you, though? Yeah, can you give an idea? I know we can't give exact numbers here, but I mean, is it more than a cup of Starbucks, or what are we talking about cash wise?
I don't know how much it costs. I'm actually quite capable of writing my own bad poetry. I don't need PayPal to do it for me.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Now, there's a website called Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R. We've talked about this before, where people offer to do things for you for a fiver.
Oh, yeah.
And that occurred to me, too, is that, maybe I should just do that. I'll sell bad poetry online for $5. and I knowing you as I do, Dave, I'm guessing that your poetry is probably not all that bad. You probably have some pretty good stuff that you're capable of creating there. So.
Oh yeah, I great poetry that nobody ever wants to read. Yeah. But so that's the solution. I'll approach what was this place called? Poemgrams for a gig.
Yeah.
I'll see if Poemgrams wants to use me. Yeah. So if you got, what about you talked last, was it last week or the week before last, your Kindle Fire was misplaced.
Oh,
that was a
yes.
bit longer than it.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago that unfortunately my wife and daughter they left it somewhere, and it got picked up almost immediately by somebody, some nefarious dude who didn't care that it was, you know, a young child's and her mother's favorite device. But that's humanity today.
That's actually a huge problem these days. You know, like in New York City, I think it's like 20 or 30% of all grand larceny is tablets and cell phones.
Oh wow!
And in California now, they're proposing a remedy to install a kill switch on any mobile device that can render, that will brick it, in fact, if you report it stolen.
I see. You know, the only thing about that is I just don't know if that's going to stop people that much from doing that sort of thing. You know,
interestingly enough, they've done it in Australia already. And even though they've had a substantial increase in cell phone and tablet ownership, actual thefts have gone down by 25%.
Really? Really? So it did have an impact when people realized that if they went through the effort of stealing something, that it wasn't going to be worth anything to them unless they killed the person they were stealing it from. There was less thefts. Yeah. Was there more murder? Because that would be my first thought is, oh, I have to kill you because I need your phone, and if I leave you alive, you're just going to go tell them to shut it off, so forget about it. Yeah. You're out of here.
Yeah, Michael. Yeah, that's the solution. kill people instead. Or just leave the phone alone. They characterize it as a crime of convenience. If you take the convenience away, the crime will go away.
And killing people is
more inconvenient. Yep. So that would probably slow down the rate of theft.
Yeah. Now, of course, you can always, I mean, when they say they brick the phone, you can always jailbreak phones and things like that. Does it make it so that you can't even go in and access it and jailbreak it at all? I mean, does it have a physical hardware impact on the phone? I'm wondering what their definition of bricked is.
Well, that's exactly true. And when the legislators get this sort of thing right, they're leaving it. The language is somewhat vague, and they're leaving it up to the carriers to figure out how to do this. And carriers are naturally against it.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure why, and they're not making it clear why. But I guess they actually said hacking. They were thinking that this could be used to hack, that this software could be, and I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Huh.
But anyway, there'd be some satisfaction when you lost your Kindle Fire that nobody else could at least use it.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, and you know, if we had, I mean, part of our problem was that we did not realize that it had been stolen for quite some time. I mean, this is the level of organization we have in my family. It was like they're like looking for it for 2 weeks, you know, and finally at some point they said, well, when was the last time you saw it? It was when we were at the hockey game with Adam and I had it in that bag. Well, where's the bag? Oh, the bag's gone too. We must have left it at the game. Ah, okay. All right. Yeah. Because now with a lot of these, and people may not realize, but like your Kindle Fire, you actually do register that through Amazon, and that's how you get access with your account. And of course, if somebody grabs it and steals it, now they have access, of course, to your account too. So they could theoretically buy a bunch of stuff, you know, with your Kindle Fire. I mean, what would they buy that would be of any value to them at all, except some books that would be then on the Kindle Fire? But what typically will happen is that they have to go through and they have to deregister it, and then they'll register it under their own account. So conceivably, theoretically, I mean, Amazon should be able to track that and be able to say, ah, yes, this Kindle Fire was registered to so-and-so, it has now been disabled and re-registered over here to this other individual. When we figured out that it had been stolen, I actually, and I don't know why it didn't occur to me earlier, but I finally decided, oh, I'll go into our Amazon account and see, you know, if it's still active or what's going on. By that point, it had already been deregistered. Somebody else had registered it. I could not track it beyond that. My emails to Amazon went essentially unanswered. I got one, you know, as like bot responses back and thanks, saying we're sorry, but, you know, we do not offer that service kind of thing. And, you know, you're out of luck. But the same is true with the cell phone manufacturers as well. If they chose to, I don't know what the cost would be to this, to them, but certainly these phones are, I mean, the SIMs are registered. They could track that information. I've got to believe there's a way that the MAC address of the networking equipment in the phones itself, even if you jailbreak that phone and blast it and do whatever else, if you wind up on one of the major carriers with that phone, that should be trackable. That should be a reasonably easy to track thing. The NSA can do it, I'm sure, and probably are.
Well, no, that's the thing, though, Michael. The numbers are so huge. This happens a lot. So you'd have the infrastructure you'd have to put in place in order to do what you're suggesting would be quite expensive for the carriers or for the manufacturers, and that would add to the cost of the service or the cost of the device. And or lower their profits.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line. It would lower their profit. What I'd like to see is, you know, a real kill switch. I want to see cell phones come out with the RoboCop security system attached to them. I don't know if people are fans of the original RoboCop and the car security, which if you opened the car before turning the alarm off would electrify your your vandals, potential thieves. So it's kind of the nuclear option for cell phone stealing, which I like.
Well, you know, I don't know about RoboCop, but some interesting things are happening with robotics and phones and cell phones that of a kind of a, you know, a nature, how should we call it, sensual, of a sensual nature.
Mm.
I did not realize that this trend was occurring. I you know, I'm always slow to pick up on this stuff. But there's an app, what's it called? It's called Cool Vibrations or something. But you could
go on.
it's called Sexy Vibes. It's an Android app. And what it does is it allows you to control the vibrator factor on your feature on your cell phone. Mm-hmm. You know how it'll vibrate when you get an email or a call if you have it on silent or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So it turns out you can actually control that.
Okay. To what end?
To this app. To whatever end you want to apply it to.
Oh, man. This is a family show, remember?
Yeah. Well, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, and who knows? And also, iPads have something called the Fleshlight.
Ooh.
I didn't. Google Glass has an app where, you and your partner can wear Google Glass.
Uh-huh.
And you'll be able to see yourself.
Oh, I did. I heard about this one. Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. So what this is, it's not that you see yourself necessarily, but that you see yourself through the eyes of your partner. Actually, they're trying to use it for family counseling type of situation where you know, you would be talking to your significant other and you would be able to see how you look through their eyes, literally through their eyes in real time. Now, that immediately, though, recalled to my mind, and this is a show you probably haven't seen because it's only being broadcast in England, unless you're sneaky, and I am. And but the show is fantastic. It's called Black Mirror, and it's a creepy, creepy science fiction series type of thing, sort of in the vein of the Twilight Zone sort of thing, but a little more on the edge, you know, for today's viewers, and a little more risque in some ways. There is a fantastic episode of that where the protagonists have the ability, through the use of a Google Glass type device, but it's a chip that's implanted, actually, that they can recall and bring up everything that they've ever seen or heard while wearing that device. And they can index and find information very quickly and so on. And they have this one scene, just brutal, horrible kind of scene where they're getting intimate. They're passionate with each other. But you can see with their eyes that they are not actually in the moment, and they're both recalling different times, potentially even different people that they are with while they're.
But this is not real at this point.
No, it is not. Not yet.
Okay. Well, here's something that is that there are developing. What are we, let's take away from.
And you
want to connect with your loved one.
Yeah.
Well, there are devices you can attach to your cell phone, and then attach to you, and not necessarily. I mean, hopefully there's Bluetooth available for this stuff. You don't want to. You don't want to tether, but so you can actually control. Through your phone, you can control your partner's device.
Oh, I see. Now, I've also
and heard... then your partner can control your device.
Okay. So there's a real interactive element to it, and all that. Now, I also heard recently. Now, for those that are more solo in their ventures, there was a
I really like that phrase. For those of us more solo in our venture, I love that. That's great.
There's a and I believe it's a vest at the moment, but there's a vest you can put on that allows you to experience or feel the emotions of the text that you're reading, and I don't have it up in front of me, but it sounded intriguing in a way, in that, you know, you would have Google Glass, it would know where on the page you were reading, and there had been built into the the information that hey, you're reading about somebody who's running away from the police, you know, whatever it may be. It'll force your temperature, your heart rate to go up. It'll do some other things, you know, to give you that sense, that feeling that you too are running away. Or, you know, if it's on a beach, it'll warm up and you'll feel warm and heat it up like you would be on a beach. Now I don't know if this would be something you'd want to wear, you know, if you're reading 50 Shades of Grey on your daily commute, but
I don't know if this is an actual term or if somebody was suggesting this term for this type of thing tongue in cheek, but they're calling it teledildonics.
Teledildonics.
I don't know if that's.
I like
that?
It. I like it. Teledildonics. I think if it's not.
But the big concern is, what if somebody hacks this? That's, you know, I don't think you'd want to be on the receiving end. Talk about malware.
Just imagine. And for all those Firefly fanatics, it would bring new meaning to the term malware. So I know, like, you know, two people are going to get what I'm talking about, but
could be. yet? Are any of your boxes running Win 8?
No, I still have not made the leap to Win 8. I've been very happy with the Windows 7, though, and happy with that. It's at some point, you know, I did just get a new monitor. That's about as exciting as I've gotten. I have a dual boot machine that's running Win 7 and Ubuntu that I use on occasion as a media server. But I just, you know, I haven't had a need to move to Windows 8. I've played with it on other people's machines and been kind of, you know, meh. There's no necessity for me to do it yet. So I haven't gotten, it just hasn't excited me. I don't know. How about you? Are you using anything Windows 8 right now?
I picked up a convertible tablet with Win 8, and just like everybody else, I heard all the stuff about it.
I'm sorry, you broke up a second there. You just like everybody else, you had what?
I heard a ton of bad press about Windows 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed it. I thought, well, it must be that bad. But just like every version of Windows, when you think about it, every version of Windows that's come out, people hate it at first. And then when the new version comes out, all of a sudden they love the old version, you know, that yep. they hated at the beginning. So I think a lot of Windows 8. I think it's great. There's certainly a bit of a learning curve or whatever, but it's actually a much better operating system. It does memory management much better. It's a lighter footprint. The Metro / Modern, they're calling it the Modern interface now. Mm. It still needs some work, but there's ways to get. It doesn't have a start button. There's ways to get around that. Supposedly the new update coming in April will address the start button issue. And you can default to the desktop. So naturally, that's one of the main reasons. But people kept asking me about it, and I didn't have answers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you know how that goes, right? You at some point, you're like, I have to learn the software because everybody's asking me about it. And yep. It's worth looking into. I think it'd be great on older devices as well. You know, provided it's compatible, simply because it requires. It's running on a Bay Trail processor for me, and it's extremely snappy.
Okay.
And handles 10, 15 open browser windows without the blink of an eye. It's very crisp and very, very snazzy. And also, it comes with the Metro interface comes with Bing News and Bing Cooking and that sort of thing. And I've always talked. Spoken badly about Bing. Well, these features are actually good. They do a good job with news. They do a good job with the cooking apps, that sort of thing.
Okay, well, that's not too bad. And I haven't really used Bing for anything like that. Like I said, I've got it on my desktop now, and I occasionally use it for searches. But I mainly use it because it's a nice, easy. Rotating wallpaper sort of thing for me. I have to confess for recipes, I just love my iPad. I've got Evernote Food, which is a version of Evernote that's specifically for collecting recipes and also too for finding recipes on the internet. And it shows it in a really easy to use format while you're, you know, slaving away in the kitchen there. So I haven't really looked for anything else, but that's interesting. I mean, and that's really, I think that's a sweet spot for the new Windows machines and the Windows 8 stuff. And is that convertible tablet sort of idea that you've got where you can combine the convenience of the tablets, but the practicality of having keyboard and other access to really create something. Hey, you know, I'm going to take us away here for a second. We've got Olivia in the studio for a version of Kids Talk Tech, and I think she's kind of excited about what she's going to tell us today. She's been playing games that her dad is not necessarily too excited about, but she thinks is perfect for little girls. So hey, Olivia, why don't you step up to the mic here and tell us a little bit about what kind of games you've been playing lately.
I heard that.
This is very exciting. I'm sorry, Olivia.
I heard that.
Well, of course you did. I tell you that to your face. This isn't something I made up today. Oh, you need to see the eye rolls on her face. This is she's 8 going on 17 right now, and wants to tell us. Okay, I'm sorry, Olivia. I know that you have really enjoyed. So, Olivia, now you've got a Google Nexus tablet that she uses. So it's an Android tablet, and she's been playing quite a few different games and having some fun. What is the game that you wanted to tell us about today?
Well, there was this game called High School Story.
Uh-huh.
I think it's especially good for stressed out high schoolers.
Okay.
Which would be
pretty much all of them, right?
Right. But okay. Then they get to make their own high school and do whatever they want in it. They talk to each other. They include students.
Oh, so it's kind of, so if you are someone who doesn't like high school too much because maybe you're getting bullied a little or you're having a tough time fitting in, you get a chance to redo the high school and make it the way you want, the way that you think would be right. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, how do you do this? How do you make high school into your own thing in this? And what's the name of the game again?
The name is High School Story.
High School Story. So do you get to actually build a gym and a dance hall and a juice bar and places like that? Or how does this work?
Well, it's not necessarily like that, but you get to build your, like, classrooms and then customize your own students and go shopping with them
and help them
fit in.
You get to help them fit in. Now, how do you help?
That sounds great.
Yeah, this doesn't sound so bad. I thought this was more about finding boyfriends and things like this. Now, how do you help high school kids fit in this game? What is it that helps them fit in?
Well, you include them in the new school when they don't fit in their old school.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone's welcome there, and there are people that other students recruit.
Oh.
And you get to have parties and meet new students.
Oh. Dave, I think, you know what, this sounds like a game you and I need to get to help us get over our continued rage about the and bitterness over our high school.
If you had that game when you were a kid, you'd be talking to the booth babes at the auto store.
I think you're right. That's what it was. I just still don't know how to fit in. I could have figured out a way to fit in this way. Wow. Well, Olivia, that sounds awesome. And I know, of course, all of the games pretty much that we talk about on air here, we always do cool sites that are free. There's probably, do they try to convince you to buy stuff in the game, though?
No.
They don't. It's one of the, they don't try to convince you, like, you need 34 more high school dollars in order to get the special bunting on your dance party game area to make everybody feel good.
No,
you don't do stuff like that?
No, Dad, but you can buy things there, but they don't force you to.
Okay.
It's not a mission or anything.
There's no missions. There's nothing like that.
Well, there are quests, but not quests to spend actual money.
Okay.
You just have the coins in the game.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Olivia. That was a great Kids Talk Tech, especially for people that or kids or adults who feel that high school could have been a little bit better. They get a chance to re-envision their own high school, it sounds like. Very cool. Thanks, Olivia.
I'm ready to do a high school redo.
Yeah, you know what? I had a few moments, but wait, we have time for maybe just one or two quick cool sites of the week. I'm not going to try to do the audio and all that. I'll throw one out, Dave. I don't know if you've got one, but I've got one here that I wanted to let people know about for sure. I've been sitting on it for a couple weeks. This is just so neat. I love this. Is Humble Bundle. If you go to humblebundle.com, this is kind of an experiment excellent in independent game and book and audio sales. Now, we've heard about, I know different bands at different times have done things, like either released all of their music, you know, from an album for free online, or they've, or like a Jonathan Colton, where that's free, but hey, if you want to pay me, you know, here, I'll give you this too. You pay a few bucks and you get some extras. Humble Bundle takes that to the next level, has every single week something new, something interesting and exciting. There's the weekly sale, there's the Humble Store, but the way it works is you can go and grab and pay as much or as little as you want for their basic bundle. Right now, this week, this blew me. In fact, I'm going to probably get this myself. This week, the Humble Bundle is Sid Meier's Civilization series. So you pay however much or however little you want, and you can get Sid Meier's Civilization 3, Civilization 4, Ace Patrol Pacific Skies, and Railroads. If you pay more than the average that people have paid that week, you get a couple of extra. And if you pay more than some specific defined amount, then you get Civ 5 is a, you know, an extra special unlock that you can get this time. The average that was being paid right now for this bundle of five Sid Meier's games, many of which I've played and are fantastic, is $9. That's the average that's being paid right now. That's what you would have to pay this week in order to unlock a couple more. And the neat thing is, most of this money, not all of it, but most of this money goes to goes to support Action Against Hunger charities. And as part of your decision for how much you're going to pay, you can also decide how much of your purchase goes to Action Against Hunger.
Oh, that sounds like a fantastic way to market things and to do a synergy between charity and profit.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just it's just so cool. So cool. I think it's a wonderful thing. And like I said, with the charities, it what's neat too is they have a top contributors list. And what's fun to see is that on the top contributors list, and of course, a lot of this money goes to charity, so it's so cool to see this. But you've got people that are battling for the top contributor list because they're using it as a form of advertisement. So the top right now is somebody who paid $1,234.56 for the Humble Bundle, which is a lot.
Wow.
But what is their username? It's G2A.com/SaveTheChildren. So they're telling you to go to a website where you can find out more about how to help kids out. And so they're giving money to the, Against Hunger, Action Against Hunger, but they're also directing you to other ways that video games can help make good things happen in the world. So I just, I've been excited about that, wanted to share that one. Dave, do you have one for us, or are we coming to the end?
Oh, no, I don't. My thing, like I said, Bing Cooking, and that's only for the Windows 8 touchscreen interface. That'd be my thing for the week if I had to recommend that.
I think that's a good recommendation. There's more and more people out there with the Windows 8 and forced into the Windows 8 interface or going into it by choice and hopefully enjoying it. Well, on that note, then, I am going to sign us out. It's been a good week. I can't wait till next week when we'll come on. And like I said, I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to be sitting back because I'm going to be playing audio from the auto show that is going on this weekend, talking about solar cars, talking about the Mustang's 50th anniversary, all that stuff. And then within the next couple of weeks, we're going to have Zach Sharp on talking about pinball. We're also going to have two near the end of the month here, Alexander Montague Esquire, one of the top legal minds in the country, talking to us about intellectual property in the internet age and talking about some of the cool stuff that's going on in that, or the interesting stuff going on in that field with Samsung versus Apple and Google versus basically all of Europe and and all that. So
that's going to be fascinating. Intellectual property rights are one of the once that's sorted out, it could be great. because if it stays as moribund as it is, it'll just impede our progress as a species.
Absolutely, and I believe it is, and I think, and knowing Alex as I do, he's got some very trenchant observations to share with us on exactly those topics. So that'll be good stuff. I am going to cut us out right now. We are past our hour. Song podcast song of the week is going to be "Flaggin' a Ride" by the Divine Fitz. Hold on, I think Olivia has one last thing to say or share or no. Oh,
next week on Kids Talk Tech. All the Castler kids will be here talking about Doctor Who.
Oh, I forgot about that. I was going to promo that. Yes, Olivia and her brother are big into Doctor Who, so they're going to come on. We're going to promo that too. So
screwed up the promo.
We did. I know. You know, that's community radio at its finest. Dave, as always, thank you so much for coming on with us. We will definitely be talking again soon. And, have a great week. Stay warm.
You do the same. Take care.
Take care.
See you next time.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Dave, Sparky Saganaki, shouts out to Olivia for Kids Talk Tech. And I'm taking us out with "Flaggin' a Ride" by the Divine Fitz. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.